So, happy trade deadline season. The results are in, the candidates have been selected, and now we can talk about it.
Yeah, we got to fight through the hangover now.
Yeah, now it's kind of like, oh, it's August trade season. Bleh.
Well, the thing about it is not only was it the trade deadline, but it was also the day of the mooch, or the last day of the mooch.
Yeah,
And
it
like, so
was.
you have all the baseball world going insane. Meanwhile, all of the political world is going insane. And frankly, it's a very fun day.
Okay, welcome to episode 33 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple with Jed Rigney.
I'm Jed Rigney.
And this episode is just there's no headlines, there's no nothing other than just trade talk.
We did this last year. We did no stories. There are some stories. You know what? We'll shelve them over to next week, and if they're still pertinent, we'll talk about them. But in baseball right now, all that matters is and was the trade deadline. And how are we going to address it, John?
The Baldwin scale.
That's right. How did each team do compared relatively to a terribly equivalenced Baldwin brother? So you have this is something I came up with a few years back on the site
Years
that John
ago.
and I, yeah, like 2011 maybe.
Yes, it was way back.
And so, look, you can't. I think grading is a bad idea, right? Because like, oh, A, but like teams are doing different things. Oh, C, that's a D plus. Who cares, right? But what I came up with was the Baldwin scale. You should have at the top Alec, then you got Billy, then you got Steven, then you got Daniel. Because we're talking about your, it's not an absolute, right? Like no trade, no deadline activity by a team is like so perfect that it exceeds the Baldwin scale. There's always some flaw to what they're doing, no matter how good they did. I mean, every now and then you get like the Yankees last year, where Cashman went full Glengarry Glen Ross Alec Baldwin, like peak Alec Baldwin perfection, and he trades away a couple relievers and gets back huge returns. Every now and then that happens, but mostly it's flawed in some way. And then even the ones at the bottom, as terrible as they are, as Daniel as they are, have some positives.
Right, and
So that's how.
occasionally they get, they get a good role, meaty role that they can do something with.
Exactly. And what's funny is over time, this has actually congealed a little bit, right?
Right.
Like 7 years ago when I came up with this, or 6 years ago, Alec Baldwin was probably a little in higher regard. Now he's relegated to doing Trump impressions and starring in a movie called Blind, which looks like a sketch from Saturday Night Live, but is actually a real movie where he plays a blind guy. And of course, welcome to Social Justice Warriors, who then attacked him for not actually being blind. Apparently, the role should have been played
By a
by
blind
a
person.
blind actor. Like, all right, you tell that to my distributor.
Yeah, there's tons of candidates out there for that role.
Scripts aren't even written in Braille, John.
No, and that's a whole nother cost factor. Everything has to be translated into Braille.
And also screwing up this whole system of mine a little bit is Daniel Baldwin has kind of got his poop together a little bit. So Daniel and Steven are sort of a lot closer together than they were. Billy, bless his heart, I feel like he has stayed the course. He has. So I guess Alec has gotten closer to Billy. Daniel's gotten closer to Steven, and then Alec, and then Billy and Steven. I get these all mixed up. And let's not forget about Adam Baldwin,
Right.
who's not even related. And you talk about the antithesis of Alec Baldwin, because A, this guy does good work. B, super conservative, right? He's all down with the, oh, the Republicans are the, well, actually, no, he's kind of critical of the GOP. Anyway, whatever, but he's more conservative. And Alec Baldwin is definitely liberal. So you have sort of a good versus, I don't know, evil. I don't know. It's not even the right word. But also, Adam Baldwin doesn't do terrible work. And Alec Baldwin does occasionally drop a turd on everyone's head.
So with all of that,
Yes. I hope
preamble,
that helps to clarify,
and
but
if
it probably
not,
doesn't.
just go back, listen to it again, rewind a little bit, listen to it, get your Baldwins in order. So let's do it one more time, ranking Baldwin from the number one down to the number four.
Okay, so if someone does a good job, does a very good job, they're an Alec. If they do an okay job, they're a Billy. And last year, by the way, only two Billys.
Oh.
Steven would be third. So that's like, not terrible, but should have done better. And then Daniel is just terrible.
So I have no idea what the rankings are, so I'm excited.
I'm gonna tell you a little, I'll tell you a secret, John. I have no idea what they are either.
Okay,
well, let's find out.
Let's find out. Drum roll.
All right.
You love those special effects?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I'm just gonna get a beverage sip right here.
Okay.
Hey, throw a team out here. Why don't you find a list of teams and then I'll I don't have a list of teams up.
Hold on. Let me I can do
that. I just have a bunch of scraps of papers with notes about trades. Very organized over here. This is how I write, though. I like to scribble onto paper and then enter those notes into a document later. Does anyone care? No.
Do you want to do it by division?
Yeah, do by division.
Okay. Let's start off with let's save that one for a little bit later. Let's start off with the AL West. How about those Astros?
The Astros. Okay, so, wow, that's kind of a tough one, right? I mean, you got to give them a Steven. They didn't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't really need anything.
I think that right? There was some conversation around they should have gone out and got a starter. They really dropped the ball on that. So some people were saying that they're one of the losers. Hard to be a loser when you're the best team, second best team in baseball.
Yeah, here's the thing. They're the second best team in baseball. They can't get another hitter. There's literally no room to improve their lineup. They finally got rid of Aoki, which I think is actually a smart move. And that leaves Derek Fisher, not the basketball player. Though, again, yes, left-handed. Room for him to play. And he's fantastic. 24, 23-year-old guy hitting the hell out of the ball in AAA. They finally just like, you know what? We're putting him on the roster. He's staying on the team. Get rid of Aoki because Aoki's been terrible. He's been not A-OK. You guys, come on. This is all off the cuff.
That was awesome.
It's improvised. So the question is, like, so what do they need? And they need a starter, right? Because Lance McCullers just went on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know he's injured? Oh, I don't know, because he's pitching like garbage. And when a great pitcher pitches like garbage after an injury, you know what it means, John?
He's still injured.
Still injured.
Yeah.
So, okay, so he's on the DL, but then they got, you know, Brad Peacock jumping in. Great name, by the way. That's how I urinate. I know I'm not supposed to laugh at my own jokes. Anyway, I apologize to the comedy community for laughing at my own jokes, but I'd never thought of that before until I just said it. So, do they need a starter? Do they need Sonny Gray? I don't know. And also, isn't it a little weird that they didn't go after Sonny Gray, who's in their division? Maybe they're a little dubious of Sonny Gray like I am. I don't know. But they still get a Steven. They should have done a little bit more.
Okay. Seattle Mariners.
Well, okay. So the Mariners have already done all the trading.
Right.
Before
they made more transactions than any team in the last year and a half.
They've done all the trades they can do. They did a little trade a week or so ago where they got sent off Tyler O'Neill, surprisingly, for a better floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
O'Neill has the higher ceiling, and then Marco Gonzalez or Gonzalez or I don't want to sound racist. I just don't know what his last name is. For him, who's sort of a higher floor, right? Like, it's like, this is going to be an okay pitcher who'll probably pitch okay for a little while and be of some value. And maybe just the outfield logjam for the Mariners. They felt now was the time to move Tyler O'Neill. I don't know. I felt like that was a weird trade. Like, Tyler O'Neill started off a little slow this year, but it's been hitting the cover off the ball. So,
and the bigger trade, not that they made anything that was significant, was trading Cishek to the Rays for Erasmo Ramirez,
right?
Because they need more innings eaters.
Yeah,
it's
a little bit like the Orioles. Like the Orioles traded for Helixson. It's not necessarily to improve the team and make a run,
right,
but just to have someone to pitch.
Right, someone to save the bullpen,
six innings every fifth day. Yeah. So they don't blow out their bullpen for next year, for trading them next year, or just for pitching next year. So I don't know. I'm gonna have to give them a Steven,
Okay.
Though with the caveat of like, you know, hey, this isn't Biodome, Steven. You know what I mean?
Right. But it's also not Usual Suspects.
But it's not Usual Suspects, Steven.
Right. Okay. Let's move on to the Angels.
So what do? They traded away a relief pitcher, right? I think they traded a relief pitcher to the... And this is my thing. Why trade a relief pitcher? Unless you're getting like a good return. I mean, maybe they save a little money, but I mean, keep them around and help.
Yeah, some of the teams that do trades, it's kind of like, I don't understand the trade because there's really, other than the fact it's like, oh, let's get in on the action.
Yeah.
Let's not just
sit
on our hands.
Which, hey, I totally understand. I'm like that in fantasy baseball. As soon as one team starts trading, I got to trade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hey, I want a piece of this. Well, you're giving away players? I'll take some. Especially if there's a guy who's suddenly making like trades that favor other people. I'm like, hey, I'll take a slightly unbalanced trade. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you did very well in your trade this weekend. I thought that was a steal for you.
Side note, for the trade deadline hoopla, Jed Rigney trades Mike Trout, the best player in baseball.
And your
Jordan
favorite,
Montgomery,
most loved player.
And my most loved player, absolutely. More than any Red Sox player since Ortiz left. And Jordan Montgomery, who's a solid, you know, number five fantasy starting pitcher. Like a number two or number three or four real baseball, but number five in fantasy. Maybe even a six. For Madison Bumgarner. Brian Kinsler, who was then immediately turned into a setup man for the Nationals. So
maybe.
Kind of a wasted piece. And Josh Reddick, mm-hmm. which is kind of just a throw in to replace my outfield situation with no Trout. And a second round pick in the farm draft next year. Everyone loves hearing all this information and a little bit of spending cash. Now, here's the thing. The trade is basically, as far as I'm concerned, is Trout for Bumgarner.
Undervalued. And, way undervalued.
Well, here's the thing. Not that far undervalued. For Trout is
going
is
into next
probably,
season, though, you're going to keep Bumgarner at the...
Oh,
and,
oh yeah, no, I'll keep him, but I can only keep him. He's just one more year. It's not like some crazy deal like I have Carlos Correa for $6. Like it's 30, he'll be $37 next year.
Yeah, but he's going to have something to prove. So I think that there's an emotional factor there. Well, we're wandering a little bit off of our.
We're wandering a little bit. But again, it's important for a fantasy team, a keeper team. You don't want to talk about a niche market. This is a podcast now talking about baseball / fantasy / keeper / like. Anyway, whatever. So back to real baseball. I was surprised the Angels did so little, but at the same time, they don't really have a lot of resources. I will say, and this is probably the thing that stops them from getting a Daniel, is they don't have the worst farm system in baseball. And I would say they're not in the bottom five anymore, so good for them.
Okay, Texas Rangers. They traded away some big pieces.
Now, I want to give them a Daniel, and not just because the general manager is John Daniels. Look, they traded Yu Darvish with, 2 months of Yu Darvish, and they got a top 80, top 70 hitter from the Dodgers in Willie Calhoun and a couple of lottery tickets. And they traded Jonathan Lucroy for pennies on the dollar, what they traded last year to get him. I think last year they traded a top 70 pitcher and a top 25 hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So... But Lucroy's been having a down year, and of course, going to Colorado is one way to
make it bounce back. Yeah,
yeah. But I would say I want to give them a Daniel, but I feel like they should have traded more guys away. Is it just me, or am I overestimating what they had to trade away? You know what? They just traded their two free agents. I'm going to give them a Daniel.
Okay.
They're not trying to blow things up. They have a good core. They don't. I mean, I guess you could trade Carlos Gomez. But is there really a market? I feel like the market for outfielders and first baseman was just so dry this year. Like, why bother? I think you're going to see that on a lot of these guys. Like, well, why didn't they trade him? Like, well, because no one wants him. Like, look at JD Martinez. The Diamondbacks go out and get him for like such a poor return, and people were like, whoa, they got robbed. The Tigers got robbed, but like, no one wants outfielders.
All right. Yeah, there's got to be a market for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so we'll give him a Daniel. Okay. I'll give him a Daniel.
How about Oakland?
No, wait. Sorry, Alec. Sorry. Not, that's Alec? The opposite. No, he's going to get an Alex. Sorry, I went the other way with that.
Okay.
They traded away two impending free agents and got good returns. That's good. That's
a good move. Okay. Oakland.
Oakland, Alec.
Yeah. Got Hall.
Yeah. Now, they traded Sonny Gray, right? And they got... Now, this is a guy who in the offseason was kind of untradeable because no one knew if he was any good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden... They got now what is now their number three, number four, and number seven in their farm system. They got those in the trade from the Yankees. So they traded Sonny Gray to the Yankees for James Kaprielian, or I don't know, not Kaepernick, but Kaprielian, and Dustin Fowler, who we all know hurt his knee in his one play in the outfield for the Yankees. And who's the other guy? Oh, Jorge Mateo, who stock was down earlier this year and even last year, some attitude problems and some underperformance at single A baseball. And then when he went to double A, he's hitting the cover off the ball and hitting like a crazy. He's like he's doing what everyone thought he could do.
Yeah, according to the A's beat reporter for MLB, he was the key. He was the centerpiece of the trade.
Yeah. And I've been a big fan of his for
and possibly because he's the only one who's not on IR right now.
Right, Kaprielian's got the Tommy John, and Dustin Fowler has the knee
replacement issue. So that
he'll be back next year, right?
Yeah. So that was their big pickup. There was to getting those three prospects, and the A's have always done that. They've done that very well, as getting prospects for top line players. And you know, and like you said earlier, though, Gray is still suspect a little bit. Is he going to be?
I think he's suspect. I know he's pitching really well right now, but I can't forget how bad he's been. And how erratic he's been. And then for the Yankees, now, of course, this is exactly what the Yankees should be doing. Give up your prospects. Who cares? A couple of injured guys. All three of the guys traded could turn into all-stars. Who cares? That'll be 3 or 4 years from now. Trade your prospects. Keep some. Trade some. Build a dynasty. That's what the Yankees are doing. It's what the Red Sox are doing. It's what the Dodgers are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you do when you have all the money and all the resources is you build a huge farm system and you trade away assets and then you just get more assets later and then you trade away and you call people up. It's exciting. It's an exciting time to be a baseball fan of a very rich team in a major city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's move on to the National League East, Washington Nationals.
Well, they're going to get an Alec, but not peak Alec. Like they just sneak in, but getting the three relievers to completely overhaul their bullpen, like they now have, I don't want to say a shutdown bullpen, but it's pretty freaking good bullpen.
Yeah, Rizzo dusty proofed their bullpen.
Yeah. Definitely. So they've been having a lot of trouble with it. I think it's I'm gonna blow everyone's mind here. I think it's a big reason why they're not have a better record than they currently do because their bullpen keeps losing games. Anyway, so this gets rid of that element. It gets rid of the demoralizing losses. And again, not completely, but, you know, a lot. And I think the only thing I would have loved to see is another outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
And with the no market for outfielders, do you think they could just get a guy? Like just a guy at the end of his contract, Jay Bruce, you know? Just someone who can come out and just, you know, be an outfielder for a couple months.
But they did get Howie Kendrick.
Yeah, but I'm not a big Kendrick fan, and I know he can, you know, he can play second base, he can play the outfield. I feel like that's okay, but I still feel like even with Kendrick, let's get one more.
Right, I agree.
That's
the move that they'll point to say, yeah, we filled that. He's versatile because he can play multiple positions, but we filled our outfield need. Not necessarily. Yeah. And again, they're looking at it as like we get to feast on the other NL East teams for the second half of the season, and we're going to pick up our 70-30 split on those games and run away with the division. It's more or less them being healthy going into the postseason with their starting pitching. That's their biggest need, I think, going in, is that they're healthy. If they're not healthy in the starting pitching, you know, it's a whole different story for them, again, which has been an issue in the past. So, I mean, the rest of the division is the under 500 remaining teams. The Marlins, I think, are probably one of the bigger disappointments in the fact that they didn't do all the stuff that they said they were going to do and really didn't get that much in return for what they did send.
Yeah, and I think that the Ramos trade, right, that's the big big move they made. And then, and I know a lot of it is like, well, they had all these bullpen pieces they should have been able to trade, but they're all unhealthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't trade Ziegler because, you know, Ziegler's just coming off the DL. And was it Tozawa, Junichi Tozawa? You can't trade him because he's been underperforming. But I just feel like, I don't know, maybe one of these bigger trades is better in the offseason, especially with the, you know, the outfield. Again, what do they have to trade? They have outfielders to trade. And it's a dry market for outfielders. Mm-hmm. Like, no one wants to, you know, no one went and got a big outfielder. Well, not no one. The Diamondbacks did. And they paid almost nothing for him. So maybe those are better moves in the offseason. I'm not willing to give them a full Daniel. I'm going to give them a Steven, though. I think moving Hechavarria and Ramos, I mean, Ramos is going to be too expensive next year. I would have liked a better return for Ramos from the Mets, but, you know, especially if you're going to trade in division.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like another salary dump kind of thing. You know what? They get a Daniel.
Yeah, it's a Daniel.
Too many pieces that should have been traded, and Dee Warden could have gone somewhere. Like, what team wouldn't want to have that kind of speed, like, for the playoffs, you know? Like, anyway, disappointed. Yeah.
So, speaking of the Mets and the Ramos trade, the Mets go out and get Ramos so that they could then trade Addison Reed, and they're basically right back where they started.
Yeah, I think Reed's a free agent at the end of the... That's the only difference, right?
But, Ramos
is going to be expensive next year, right, in arbitration?
Yeah.
And they got rid of Duda, so they dumped some salary. It sounds like a very Metsy thing to do, right? We dump some salary. This is basically like the Marlins. And hilarious that they traded with the Marlins. They just salary dumped a little bit and, you know, I don't know, put Duda on a better chance for him to get in the playoffs with the Rays. But
which is so strange because, you know, going into this season, more so last season, that the Mets were the odds-on favorite to the return to the World Series, and now they're a middle-of-the-pack team.
Yeah, it's rare that you see starting pitching fall apart that quickly. I remember the Cubs, the 2004 Cubs, right?
Right.
Those two guys.
Yeah,
I can't remember. that Dusty Baker Pryor, burned out in 2003.
Yeah, Mark Pryor,
right?
And
the other guy.
The other guy. Yeah.
But that was pitching where it was like, wow, this is going to be dominant forever. And then, clearly it wasn't. And the Mets had the same thing. Everything depended on... And the thing that the Mets were doing wrong also was they were dependent on pitching, and they kept making their defense worse, thinking that, like, oh, no, it won't matter because the pitchers are going to strike everybody out. But, you know, eventually the ball is going to get hit, right?
Right.
Like, it's just going to happen. And then when the ball is hit into the field of play, someone has to field it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mets just kept putting out a worse and worse outfield. You know, you have corner outfielders playing center field. Like, go get a center fielder.
Mm-hmm.
I know they don't just grow on trees, but go get a center fielder, man. And trade away everything that's not nailed down, even, I don't know, and eat the money, man. Stop trying to save money. Eat the money so you can get a better prospect. There's no point in trading away. You're already planning on spending that money. Trade away for nothing. Trade Duda for nothing.
Right.
And get a better prospect from the Rays. That's what you do. The Rays took on salary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the Mets, they get a Daniel.
Phillies, how about Phillies?
The Phillies are going to get themselves a Steven, and good for them, because they traded away Pat Neshek, they traded away Howie Kendrick, and they traded away Jeremy Hellickson. They didn't get a lot in return, but they just... traded them and they got something back.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really have anything else to trade.
Well, they also got rid of Benoit too, so they
that's right.
Basically unloaded some they're getting younger, more younger. So they picked up a ton of prospects. I just don't know who.
Some lottery tickets, you know, none of them are top, I think even the top 200 guys, but still, like, there's guys who come from out of nowhere who turn into big time players. And if you can just get a lefty reliever out of one of these trades, you know, so that 2 years from now, you have a lefty reliever. That's all you need to accomplish. You don't need to accomplish you know, getting, you know, whatever, Clint Frazier or something huge in return. So I'm going to give them a Steven, and I would give them a Billy, but come on. Nothing really happened over there.
Last but not least, the Braves. I don't even think they did anything, did they?
What did they do? Well, they couldn't trade Jim Johnson because, A, he's been terrible for like the last month. B, even when he's good, no one wants him because they know he has the capacity to be very terrible.
Right.
As he was with, what's it called?
The
when
A's.
He got traded to the Dodgers went to the A's.
Yeah.
Was
with
it with the A's
he was off
and
signed a 2-year big contract and just tanked.
I think before that, though, he got traded to the Dodgers from somewhere. And was just cratered. Just was like the worst relief pitcher you've ever seen.
Okay, so he was with Baltimore.
Okay.
And he did fantastic and had two seasons of back-to-back 50 saves. Then he signed the big contract with Oakland. 2-year contract and got a whopping 2 saves in Oakland. And was traded to Detroit later that season. Then he was with Atlanta, then the Dodgers, then back to Atlanta. So the Dodgers picked him up from the Braves, his first stint with the Braves. So he went from being the best in baseball 2 seasons in a row in 12 and 13 to just shuttling around for 3 years.
Crazy. Relievers, man. Got to be careful.
Yeah.
Got to be careful. They'll turn on a dime.
Yeah, he posted a very tidy 10.13 ERA with the Dodgers.
Right? Like, it was...
In
like
23
games.
In 23
like this
games.
Guy came in to put out fires with like a fire starter kit.
Yeah. So he pitched in 23 games, but only logged 18.2 innings. So that's not a very good
I remember
sign.
Tracking it as it was going, and it was just like... Because they were having relief issues that year.
So that's this week in Atlanta Braves baseball.
Yeah, so we got a Daniel. We got was it 4 Daniels? No, it's 3 Daniels, a Steven... And it's just like by default, Steven, by the grace of Phillies baseball. And by the way, a Steven for them, that's an upgrade. Mm-hmm. They're almost always in. You know what? Last year, I think they were an Alec. Because they got rid of Hamels.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, someone else. But anyway, they've been doing a decent job. But they had, remember, for years with Ruben Amaro Jr., they were just terrible.
Yes, they were.
Who
okay, let's move out to the AL Central. How about the Indians?
Indians, here's the thing. I'm going to give them a Billy because what do they need? No one knows what they need. We remember we were talking about this last week or the week before, and it was just like, what do the Indians need to do? No one knows. So they went and got another reliever. That's probably what they need to do, and they just need to play better
mm-hmm.
than they have been, right? Because there's no... real openings on the field.
Yeah. That's one of those situations where it's like it's up to the players on the field to perform. So they got all the pieces they need. I mean, they have a solid team top to bottom. And now it's just a matter of going out and getting wins. And they're doing it. The Royals have been a huge surprise in the last, 2-3 weeks. But I think that might be smoke and mirrors. But I shouldn't say that though, because the Royals actually went out and made some moves.
Yeah, I'm still not a believer in all that. I think they're too roller coaster.
So, but the
and for those of you who've never been on a roller coaster goes up and then a roller coaster goes down, and that's why I'm saying it's like a roller coaster because it's like they're going up and then they're going to go down.
Well, they definitely picked up with the acquisition of Melky Cabrera, someone to replace Alex Gordon, who's been one of the worst players in baseball this year.
But is it to replace him? That's the thing. And of
supplement
course,
him.
Of course, they pick up Melky Cabrera, and then whatever, was it the day after, was it Sunday that the Alex Gordon hit a bases-clearing triple? All right.
Guy's hitting 200.
Been terrible.
Yeah,
and not good defense, by the way, which was the main source of his inflated wins above replacement, his WAR, was his defense. And that's gone in the toilet, too. So now it's sort of like, well, you got Brandon Moss and Bonifacio and Gordon and Cabrera. You got to figure Cabrera's full-time now. I don't know.
It's Royals baseball. It's
Royals
ball.
Baseball.
Yeah. So although Moustakas and has just been lighting it up, he's been the revelation for them this year. He's been the reason why they've gotten back into the hunt.
Yeah, and Whit Merrifield exceeding all expectations and will probably crash back down next year, but right now hitting 300 with a little bit of power and a little bit of speed. Mm-hmm. Exciting player. Mm-hmm. Right. So what do we got here? We jumped into the Royals. Royals, I'm going to give them an Alec.
Okay.
I don't think it's a full-blown Alec Baldwin.
Miami Blues.
I don't think it's a blind Alec Baldwin either. I don't think
it's an early Alec Baldwin.
You know, I think it's maybe Miami Blues.
Yeah, Miami Blues Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
I go with that.
Like, it's a little edgy and a little bit, you know, a little bit too hairy, a little too much with the chest hair. You know, kind of a little bit of sociopath in those eyes. But still an Alec because, hey, that's a good collection of pitchers they got. Maybe they paid a little bit too much for them, but you know what? Everyone's paying for pitching, so...
So
what we got? Oh, wait a minute. Did I do a thing for the Indians? Give them a Billy?
Okay, so we got a Billy for the Indians and Alec for the Royals. How about the Tigers?
The Tigers are going to get a Billy. And they got rid of Martinez, who's an impending free agent. They got rid of Avila, who's an impending free agent. They got rid of Justin Wilson who's their closer. And I just feel like if you're not going to overhaul the team, don't trade away the one guy in your bullpen who can get people out. Because now it's just gas cans. That's all they have coming out of the bullpen is gas cans. And I think if you're the Tigers and you've got a Justin Verlander on your team and you've got a Miguel Cabrera on your team and an Ian Kinsler and any of the other various players that play for the Detroit Tigers, Michael Fulmer... And then you bring out that bullpen. It's like, nah, come on. But I guess maybe you couldn't trade Verlander's contract, and then no one wants to pay for Miguel Cabrera when he's slumping and is due, $30 million a year until 2020 or 2022. So I don't know. Maybe you can't move those guys. But you can move Kinsler, can't you? Isn't there someone who wants Kinsler?
I think that they were open for trading and didn't get much activity.
They got Jack Squat for J.D. Martinez. Mm-hmm. He's like one of the best hitting players in the league right now, and they got Jack Squat. Strange times, man.
So what do they get?
Billy.
Billy. Yeah. Okay, how about the Twins?
Okay, so I'm going to give them a Steven, but we're going to talk. It's more like Usual Suspects, Steven. They traded for a player to make a run. He started once for their team, and then they traded him away to sell off. They went from buyers to sellers within a week. I think that's a little weird. That's not smart. That's strange. That's erratic.
A little head games with the fan base for sure.
Yeah, it's a little erratic. You know who the most erratic Baldwin is? Stephen Baldwin. Yeah. So,
that's fitting.
Yeah. So I'm going to say... You know, you and I have talked about the Twins probably more than any other podcast in baseball. Even a Twins-only podcast is not going to talk about the Twins as much as we do. Because I'm just fascinated by this team that just keeps shooting itself in the foot. And now it's starting to make some good decisions, right? We got a defensive alignment that works better with Miguel Sano at third base. You got Max Kepler. You got these great young players. You got some nice pieces. They're finally stopped playing games with Jose Barrios, and now look at him. I don't want to say he's an ace, but that guy's heading towards being an ace. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Steven
it is.
They would have gotten a Billy if they had just not traded for a player and then traded him away. That just looks crazy.
Okay, last but not least there, how about the Chicago White Sox?
Oh, straight up Alec. And maybe... Look, you know what? The only thing stopping this from being like a full peak Alec Baldwin was they traded away David Robertson. Great. They traded away Tommy Canley. Great. Then they traded away Swarzak, whose name I don't know the first name. Kevin?
Anthony.
Joe?
Anthony.
Anthony. I was very close. I was using letters. And Anthony and Joe both have letters in their names. Okay, so... At a certain point, you do need to have some pitchers on your team. And I think that if you have a good pitcher that's not going to get you much, Just keep him. So they traded Swarzak to the Brewers for what? I don't.
Ryan Cordell, hitting prospect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, the that's probably more than you could have got somewhere else. But the Brewers have very deep outfield system, right, in their farm system, or outfield depth in their farm system, and so maybe they have very deep depth. John, I'm a professional
the
writer.
Deepest.
Just in case anyone was wondering, how they have very deep depth. And maybe this guy's, you know, like he's having a good year in AAA, so maybe they can even call him up right away or call him up next year and just, hey, maybe he's the next surprise guy that does well. But this is a very – this team is doing the right thing, selling off all its pieces, getting as many prospects back. They have – now I would say they have the top two farm system. I think the Yankees fall out of the top three with the trades that they made and the call-ups that they've made. They really only have a couple of really nice pieces now, the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And they have some depth, of course. But they've gotten
deep
rid
depth.
Of, by calling up and by trading, they've gotten rid of, I mean, what, six of the top 50 players that they had. They're now they're not on their team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, or six of their top 15, of their top 15. So, not, you know, they're still probably in the top 10 somewhere, the Yankees are, but... not nearly as like wow, but again, part of that's because some of the wow is already on the team.
Right.
So,
let's move back over to the National League Central.
Okay,
with the Chicago Cubbies.
Chicago Cubs, Alec, they got Quintana. That's all they really needed. They picked up Justin Wilson from the Tigers, and they didn't pay. I wouldn't say they paid a lot for Justin Wilson. Not like they paid for Chapman, but they gave away assets that they didn't need.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cubs, like the Dodgers with their trade, like no matter how good those players are, they just were blocked by like a lot of people along the way up the minor league. So it was the right move. They got rid of some very good prospects to get, or a very good prospect, especially, but I guess no, Kreese is a very good prospect too. Dylan Kreese or Cease. Crease. That's the pitcher they gave up for Quintana. But I'm going to go ahead and say that's an Alec because they filled every hole they have.
Yeah, and they're all in, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think it was 2-3 weeks ago, just before the All-Star break, you were saying that you're not, you know, the Brewers are not going to be there. The Cubs will take over, and boom, right out of the blocks after the All-Star break, the Cubs win six straight and they're in first place.
Right. I think I said something like, yeah, like a 9-2 run is all they need. They'll be in first place.
Yeah.
And so what happened? They go like a 9-2 or 8-3 or whatever. And the Brewers have a little bit of a fall. And now all of a sudden, okay, yeah. So the best team, I wouldn't say that. I would say at the beginning of the year, they're the best team in baseball. But I would say now they're the second best team in baseball. And maybe the third. That pitching, I'm worried about that pitching.
Mm-hmm.
It's lost a lot of its quality. I would say it's lost a lot of quality,
but they, you know, picking up Quintana definitely helps tremendously.
But see, like Lester is way off. Lackey is way off. He's hitting guys. He can't stop hitting guys. Those are free base runners.
Mm-hmm.
Arrieta's down and Hendricks is down. Like, so like everyone's down. Quintana, I think, is their best pitcher right now.
And it's funny because he was having a so-so season. He comes over and his first two starts is dominant.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why, again, this is an Alec, because this is exactly what the team needed, and they just, boom.
They pulled the right strings.
They got a little more bullpen help, a starting pitcher. You're going to hear me say almost the exact same things about the Dodgers. It's exactly what the Dodgers went and did.
Okay, Brewers. We'll kind of cover them a little bit.
Yeah, I think the Brewers, again, this is, I'm going to give them an Alec based on the scope of their work, right? So they traded for Jeremy Jeffries, right?
Yeah.
So that's not thrilling or whatever, but it's like, hey, a little bullpen help.
They had Jeffress last year, traded him
in
the Lucroy deal, and they wound up getting him back.
Yeah.
And
so
they've shored up their bullpen, getting Jeffress and Swarzak.
They're doing that smart thing of, and this I used to always say this about the Pirates, where it's like, yeah, they're doing well, but they know they're not a very good team yet. And even if they go get like a Sonny Gray or whatever, like how much value they'd have to give up to get a Sonny Gray on the off chance that this team actually pulls it together. Now, see, next year, I think, is going to be a year they can make a big push. Mm-hmm. If they have a good start, if these pieces all click a little bit, Lewis Brinson is the, you know, permanent fixture in center field who they got from Texas last year. If they can, you know, Domingo Santana, fantastic. Braun, whatever, injured a lot. But that is a very strong offense there. And then if they just get a little bit more starting pitching, mm-hmm. and it all just gets a little bit better, as these younger players do, then next year could be a year where they actually make a trade at the deadline that's of significance. You know, like they did to get CC Sabathia
right.
way back in the day.
Right. 2007 or so, something like that.
Yeah.
So what do they get? What's their Baldwin?
I'm going to give them an Alec, but that's, again, more on scope of the, not just the deadline rating.
Okay. How about the Cardinals? Did Cardinals do anything at all?
I mean, other than the Tyler O'Neill trade, they were talked about a lot. They were talking about being buyers and sellers. There were people there saying that maybe they would trade Lance Lynn because Lance Lynn's a free agent at the end of the year. But they kind of just froze.
Yeah.
They kind of just, you know, that thing of like, should we go left or should we go right? And they're just like, well, let's just stand here and get hit by the truck.
Right.
I mean, they're not making the playoffs. They're not good enough to make the playoffs. But I don't know if the Cardinals can ever be sellers. I don't know if that fan base is willing to experience that.
A total implosion. No, I don't see that. They're one of the best franchises in developing players for sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're always bringing guys up, and so they always kind of have a chance. But I just don't think that team will ever even do what the Yankees did, you know, and whoever thought the Yankees would ever really do that. Well, not while Steinbrenner was alive, but where they were like, well, we're going to give up players for the future. But maybe they just didn't get offers that were like the Yankees got last year. Like the Yankees did that thing last year, which was amazing, right? Chapman and Miller for Clint Frazier and Gleyber Torres and other pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's just incredible management. And then they get Chapman back after the season. Right. And, yeah, so they don't have Miller, but still they have Clint Frazier, who's now a star for the team, or, you know, not a star, but
rising star,
performing very well, right? Yeah. And he's an exciting player, and he's got the redhead thing, and everyone loves him, and he's part of that great energy that the team has, which makes me sick, frankly.
Made a great catch over the weekend.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, we'll get to them in a minute.
Yeah, and I think that's a very particular circumstance where I don't think the Cardinals are in that circumstance. They don't have like a shutdown closer that they can trade away. Both of their closers, O, yes, that's his whole last name, O-H.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it O?
O.
Rosenthal. Rosenthal's been pitching very well like the last couple weeks, but no one wants to pay a lot of money for a guy who's been pitching well for the last couple weeks.
Right.
So
what do the Cardinals get?
I'm going to give them a Steven. Not full-blown Daniel, because they didn't do anything wrong, but they didn't really do anything right. And that sounds a lot like Steven Ball.
How about the Pirates?
Did they do anything?
They traded away, right? They picked up Benoit and got rid of Tony Watson.
Got rid of Watson,
yeah.
Right? Now, Watson was supposed to be their closer this year and just didn't fit into the role.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't jive with him. He had some batting average on balls in play, you know, like unlucky drops and stuff. And it all just kind of went against him. And some, he was not stranding enough runners. Too many runners were scoring on him. And so maybe he's better in the setup role. Who knows? These relievers are so fickle. They're also relivers. sometimes they relive the same moment over and over again. It's very Groundhog Day sometimes with these
Were knocking on the door a little while ago. They were at 500 just before the break or right around the break, and it was like they were resurgent for a while, but they've kind of...
Yeah, Andrew McCutchen has blossomed back into Andrew McCutchen, which
and
is
Marte
great.
Marte is back now.
Yeah, back from his...
suspension.
steroid suspension. I mean, it's a solid team, and I don't think they should blow it up. You and I were talking about the whether or not there were rumors of Gerrit Cole being traded.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Gerrit Cole just wound up being too erratic as well.
Although he has pitched well of late.
He has. But then, of less than late, of early,
of early. He wasn't.
He was not.
Well, he started out good, and then he went down. Yeah.
He's not a free agent at the end of the year, right? They still have one more year on him, right?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe they're just like, let's try again next year. I don't think the Central is so, like, crazy.
Yeah. It's you don't have to do much to be competitive in that division other than the Cubs. And the Brewers are on the upswing. Yeah. So, the Pirates get...
Yeah, so they get Billy.
Billy.
Billy, they seem to accurately assess their situation. I don't feel like they didn't trade someone that they should have traded. And I didn't go out and get someone that they should have gone out to get. And it's a light Billy, though.
A light Billy?
This isn't Backdraft Billy. This is more like, you know, Lifetime Movie of the Week Billy.
Sliver Billy?
You know what? Let's go with Sliver Billy.
Sliver Billy.
Yeah.
Okay, last but not least in the AL Central or NL Central, the Reds. And I have to say one thing. The unhappiest player in Major League Baseball right now has to be Scott Van Slyke. Yes. Has to be.
Oh, man, that's a rough
Going from the best team in baseball to one of the worst teams in baseball. Unbelievable.
That's always such a thing to imagine, right? Like, you're like, of course, he's in the minor leagues, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but you got to figure he's like, no, I'm knocking on the door. I'm the next man up. No, you're going to Cincinnati.
Yeah, and he would have been there during the expanded roster call-up. So he would have been he would have been playing in meaningful baseball. And
could have gotten a call-up for playoff games, you know, when they go to less pitchers, more hitters. But they traded the Reds traded Singrani.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Reds could have traded much more. I think a lot of the players they have are sort of young and under control. Cozart, of course, always a trade point, but he's injured, which is also seems like a constant. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give them a Steven. They're just kind of a little bit of a mess, but you know, there's not a lot they can do, so it's hard to, you know, it's hard to get two on them about it. But yeah.
I would have thought that their biggest trade piece was Iglesias, and that they would have targeted the Nationals to kind of prior away one of their top prospects.
I think that's the difference between Steven and Alec for the Reds. Mm-hmm. Is what are you doing with Iglesias? Like, is he going to be a starter next year, or is he this lights out closer? Like, I feel like there are some good players traded for relief pitchers this year, and you're talking about the best relief pitcher. I'm not saying they're going to get what, you know, Andrew Miller got back, or maybe that's what they were waiting for. Maybe they were waiting for.
They definitely got two top prospects.
I feel like that's the case. Because
mm-hmm.
I think Raisel Iglesias, not only is he a great pitcher, he could be a setup man, right? Like he could do a couple innings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Very like Andrew Miller-esque.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And just like strikes out everybody and is, you know, electric stuff. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if the Reds really know what they're doing. Again, this sounds an awful lot like Steven.
Okay. Let's move on to the American League East. How about those Yankees?
How about the Yankees?
What do you think?
I mean, obviously it's an Alec.
Yeah.
What do they need? They need a starting pitching, right? We've been talking about this. I'm worried about their starting pitching. They go out and get Jaime Garcia, who's a number 4 or 5 starter, whatever. And they go out and get Sonny Gray, who's a number 2, 3 starter. Like, that's what they needed. They went out and got it. They paid the price. I don't believe in Sonny Gray, but I don't believe that I am right.
Well, it's a 50-50 kind of with him,
yeah.
You know, and he could be lights out for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
He could be, I mean,
He could be lights on.
Could be.
It doesn't work out that's one of those ones where you make it opposite. It doesn't quite work, does it?
He's lights on.
He is. Mo. He was in. Oh, did you see him last year? Oh, I mean, he was lights on all year. It sounds so strange. Where do words come from, John?
Funny.
All right. Anyway, but that's a good move for the team. I think. What's the one thing they needed? Right, a little more first base, but. Now, what's his name? Chase Headley has started to hit the ball again. Maybe they're just like, let's not mess with it.
Yeah, so. They got enough going on with the pieces that they've picked up over the last 2 weeks that they've shored up every spot. Now, they're
plus,
pitching.
Aaron Hicks is supposed to come back in, I think he starts a rehab assignment this week. So you figure then he's back in a week. And then maybe Holiday goes to DH/first base. So really, what are you going to get a first baseman for?
It's pretty amazing that we're talking about the Yankees as being one of the top teams in the American League when coming into the season, nobody thought that.
Yeah. I mean, we thought they were going to be good. Like, you know, that whole division is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but obviously the difference is Aaron Judge. I mean, the difference, yeah. I think we all thought he would be like a one-win player, and he's looking like he's going to be a six or a seven-win player, and that's the difference in the team right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, everything else has been kind of, I mean, Starlin Castro sort of outperformed when he was hitting, and maybe that's one place they could have gotten a little more depth. Maybe they just don't give a hoot about that. I was going to say the S word, John, but I didn't.
I appreciate that. So do the kids and their parents.
But okay, Yankees are full blown Alec. Cashman's great. All the rumors that, you know, he was only good because he had money and unlimited resources, like, it's just not true.
Well, it was funny last year how they were saying that before last season that, you know, the Yankees were on the decline and that, you know, maybe they should consider moving to a different GM. And he pulls off probably one of the best midseason trade deadlines in the most recent history of baseball,
yeah,
because he totally turned around the franchise with a couple of trades.
Yeah.
So,
and also remember, after that trade, they went on a winning streak last year and
they were not necessarily
eliminated from the wild card till about the last week. So
yeah, they were impressive.
Yeah.
So Yankees get the big Alec.
They get the Alec.
How about the Rays? Rays made some moves.
They get an Alec. And here's the thing. They get an Alec because they spent money. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. They took on, what, they got like three relievers and Lucas Duda, and they traded away Tim Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, I still don't quite understand why that trade happened, but maybe there was money or whatever. And that's such a small trade, who cares? But if you add Hecheverria, which, as I told you, would happen when the trade happened, all their pitching would improve,
mm-hmm,
because all of a sudden you have now a guy at shortstop who is stopping balls from going through, and that's, when you turn hits into outs, that's a good thing. So they went out and got Steve Cishek, who I'm not really a fan of, but who does have a nice...
He's either really on or really, really off. And if they're going to use him just in situations, then he's much more effective than as a closer. So that's going to be a huge plus for them.
Right. And same with Dan Jennings, who's the lefty they got. You know, adding more depth to their bullpen. And this is how a smaller team can improve. You know, they have a very good farm system. It's not great, but it's very good. And they can give away some of these lottery tickets to, pick up these smaller pieces. But the fact that they took on salary so they didn't have to give up much in prospects, too, I thought, good for them. It's almost like they're all grossed up.
So what are we giving the Rays for?
Oh,
Alec.
That's
full
Alec.
Alec.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
Orioles. Alec. How about the Orioles?
The Orioles, I'm just going to give a Daniel to.
Yeah.
And I know some people were super harsh on them for not trading Machado. I know Buster Olney was like, you didn't trade Machado, you didn't trade Jones, all their trade value just gone in the toilet. I just think with hitting the way it was this year, it's better to wait to the offseason to trade those guys. But I just feel like you trade your freaking relievers, man. Trade them. Like, there's a part of the Orioles that don't want to give up, right? They don't want to. They have a little bit of that Cardinals thing. What is it with these bird teams, John?
they're gone to the birds.
Yeah, they're, you know what? They're nesting. Hey, this has become foul territory.
FOWL. Okay, so what are we
getting? We're getting a little loopy here.
Yeah, we're down to
my coffee's wearing off, and but yeah, I'm not impressed with the Orioles. I guess here's the thing, right? You don't want to give up on next season as well, but shouldn't the Orioles give up on next season? I mean, look at this team. Of course, they made the playoffs last year, and famously, Britain wasn't used.
But they
just look like a train wreck. And you can only win so many softball games,
right?
I think, in the American League East. And at a certain point, you have to have the pitching, and I just don't think they do. Bundy looks like he's injured. His stuff is not as good as it was earlier in the year. I still stand by my belief in Dylan Bundy, but there's something off on him, and then they're throwing. Yeah, it's hard to. I mean, as a Red Sox fan, it's great. Like, great. Mediocre Orioles team. That works for everybody.
So the Orioles get a...
Oh, I'm going to give them a Daniel.
A Daniel. Okay.
Yeah, I think they should have done more. I think they should have traded. Again, a lot of what they have are hitters. So, okay, I'm going to give them a pass on the hitters. But what about those relievers, man?
Mm-hmm.
What about those relievers?
Yeah, Britton was all the talk, and he didn't go anywhere.
And in their defense, a little bit like the Padres not moving Brad Hand, which we'll get to, like maybe the market just wasn't quite what they wanted for Zach. Like, I think the Orioles want to trade away 2016 Zach Britton.
Right, absolutely. They wouldn't have got anywhere near what they would have gotten last year. But last year they were right. in the hunt, therefore.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, how about the Blue Jays?
Let's give them a Billy. Trade off some assets. They got kind of screwed by underperformance. Marco Estrada being terrible for all of July. I think that made him untradeable. Jose Bautista is in one of the steepest hitting declines I've ever seen. Plus, he can't really play the outfield, so you're talking about only a DH. They trade away a couple pieces and, you know, got some stuff back, and maybe that will turn into something. And so solid, but, you know, they know they're done. So I give them – that bumps them up from a Steven. But some of those guys, they just couldn't trade. So maybe it's really great, you know, just barely grazing into – Alec, but you get stuck with guys, that's partially on you for signing them.
Mm-hmm. So how about the Red Sox?
The Red Sox get a Billy. And the only reason why they get a Billy and not a Steven, and I've been brutal with these guys in the past. I am accurate. I set aside my bias when I do this stuff. Often I have been accused of, when I write about a team, I've been a fan and a hater of the same team. And I've been... very truthful. You know, I don't want to be like the guys, oh, I tell it like it is. I'm not telling it like it is. I'm just saying the way that it is.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. They're trying to stay under the cap.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's a lot of hitting out there, and they could improve at their first base DH situation. Moreland. Is that his name?
Mitch Moreland. Yeah.
Yeah, Mitch Moreland. Yeah, he's not very good. And he started off at a good April, and since then he's just been garbage, and they need a better hitter there. But they really needed another relief pitcher, and they got Addison Reed, and that's a very good setup man. They needed that, so they got that. They needed a third baseman. They traded around for a couple guys, looked around, couldn't get anyone. So they called up Rafael Devers, and oh, who, by the way, is absolutely killing the ball, had 4 hits yesterday.
He belongs.
Already has 2 home runs, playing a solid third base. I won't say he's played a great third base, but they just need solid with that kind of hitting. So you got the number 8 or 9 hitter on the Red Sox roster with a .380 batting average and 2 home runs and a double off the wall.
He may wind up leading the team in home runs.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like this guy looks like he's a major leaguer right now. Yeah. He didn't look intimidated. He's killing the ball. They started him on the road. They brought him home. He picked up where he left off. It's very impressive hitting with this guy. And so they went and got Eduardo Nunez, which I think is a very good trade for the Red Sox because he can play third base. He can play shortstop. He can play outfield. Xander Bogart's been having some trouble at short after he got hit by the ball. And that's a solid trade. I mean, what they need is a big bat. But I don't think they can afford a big bat. And I don't know if you saw, but Eduardo Nunez, who was super hot with the Twins last year when he got traded to the Giants and then tanked when he went to the Giants, as soon as he left the Giants, was super hot again.
Mm-hmm.
He's got doubles. He had a 2 home run game already.
With the Red Sox.
With the Red Sox. Stealing bases, hitting home runs. Like, this is the guy the Giants thought they were getting last year, and he turned out to not at all be that. And so now they basically traded him away for, you know, cash.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have, you know, now the Red Sox have a solid, I don't even say utility, but sort of like that Marco Gonzalez character that the Astros have, the guy who will play 5 times a week.
Right, super utility guy.
Yeah, so he's actually become sort of like a DH as well. So it kind of handles that problem. But I think, you know, with the Yankees getting Sonny Gray and the Dodgers getting Yu Darvish, I think Red Sox fans would have liked to seen a bigger splash, but they don't need starting pitching necessarily. Mm-hmm. They really needed some bullpen and a little bit more hitting, something to kickstart. But that's a Billy. That's not an Alec unless you're playing like the big boys. That's not an Alec.
So it's an upper end Alec.
It's a backdraft
Billy.
It's backdraft Billy.
Okay. Backdraft Billy. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the National
League
West.
Like, it's making out with Jennifer Jason Leigh in the fire truck Billy.
Okay. NL West. Let's just
check that door for heat, John. Check that door for heat.
A backdraft reference.
That's a little backdraft reference.
Let's go on to the NL West and the Dodgers. Probably the A++ or Alec Baldwin to the nth degree.
This is the Alec-iest Baldwin of all the Alec Baldwins.
Yeah, this might be the best Alec of all time.
This is Glengarry Glen Ross. This is Cashman last year.
Mm-hmm. All in.
They got Darvish for 2 months. And now their starting rotation in the playoffs is Clayton Kershaw, Yu Darvish, Rich Hill, and Alex Wood. Good luck.
Yeah. Pretty potent.
Good luck. That's a Taken reference. Good luck, right?
Yes.
No? All right. I don't know. I'm so loopy right now, man. I'm tired. I'm hungry.
Tell me a little bit about the prospects that they gave up for Darvish, Calhoun, Alexi, and Davis.
Those two are just throw-ins. Like, those are maybe someday they turn into something the Dodgers don't care. Calhoun is an interesting prospect because he immediately becomes a better prospect because he's now in the American League.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is basically a 5'9" DH. Who already has something like 20 home runs for the Dodgers minor leagues right now, this season. He's an incredible hitter, but where were the Dodgers ever going to play him? Because he's a second baseman, sorta, but he's really just a DH. And so now you move him to the American League, and he moves up 10, 20 spots in the standings. This is all of a sudden a top 50, top 60 hitter in baseball. It makes me wish I had him on any of my teams, but whenever I've looked at, like, well, who do I add to my fantasy baseball teams? I would always say, yeah, but, like, where's this guy going to play? I didn't think, oh, maybe this is the guy they trade to an American League team, you know. But again, like, maybe they trade him to a National League team. That's stupid. You know, you never know what's going to happen with these trades. But he becomes more valuable going to the American League. He's just an incredible hitter. He's one of those guys that's like it's like a kind of a Jose Altuve, but if you can imagine like a Juan Uribe.
Mm-hmm.
Like a shorter Juan Uribe.
Right.
If you can imagine.
Fire plug kind of guy.
Yeah, the fire hydrant kind of guy. Yeah. The fire plug guy, right? Like the sort of slow center of gravity. Mm-hmm. But he just crushes the ball to all fields. Power, not a lot of speed, but enough to get around the bases. This is not Prince Fielder, you know?
No.
But it's and for the Dodgers, it's great because, like, he's not Walker Buehler and he's not Alex Verdugo, and those were their two untouchables.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, I think if they're going to go get Sonny Gray, I think one of those guys has to go.
Mm-hmm.
Walker Buehler will be up this year pitching in relief, hoping to catch lightning in a bottle. You know, they're going to try to pull him up and see if he can do some one and two inning stints for the Dodgers. Incredible rising prospect for the Dodgers. I think Keith Law has him at number 11. In all of baseball, like, and this is a guy who, you know, last year, barely in the top 100 of, and not in all the top 10, not in all the top 100 lists.
So big ceiling.
Yeah, explosive, like 100 mile an hour guy, but with control, like out of nowhere, like Ray. You know, with the Dodgers are using the weighted ball program on their pitchers, and they got him and Matt. I think Matt White. I don't know, whatever. And he's also a bit of a, what do they call it when someone jumps up in the standings? Pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pop-up prospect, meaning he's popped up the rankings. For those of you who don't know what.
So the best team in baseball basically got better.
Yeah, so the best team in baseball, the team that's on pace to win 110 or whatever games, added the best available pitcher in trade. And then added two lefty closers, because they just weren't really happy with their lefties that are currently in their system. Grant Dayton, who I think a lot of people expected big things out of after a really strong year last year. But this year has just been, relievers are volatile, right? So they went out and got Cingrani and Tony Watson. I mean, that's an awesome bullpen. Mm-hmm. They got Brandon Morrow and Pedro Baez. And, of course, Kenley Jansen with the hammer at the end. the 4 or 5 out hammer at the end, as we found out in the playoffs, he can do. That's a great team. That's the that's the Cubs from last year. So it's just a question of, like, does everyone stay healthy, and do they avoid enough bad luck to win the World Series, which the Cubs almost didn't do.
Right, and you've got 3 really good teams right now in the National League. You have the Cubs, who will rise up and be a better team now. The Nationals and the Dodgers. That's pretty. It's going to be interesting come postseason time.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see who has to play who. Mm-hmm. Like, will one team have to play 2 of those?
Right. That's going to be.
Or will the wild card team mess things up?
Off.
Yeah.
And that happens quite often.
Yeah.
How about the Rockies?
I think right now the wild card team is an NL West team, right?
Both of them are, Rockies and Diamondbacks.
Right. So the Dodgers right now. The Cubs would have to beat the Nationals and the Dodgers, because I think the Nationals get to play the wild card team. Anyway, so yeah, it's going to be a great NL playoffs. I think the AL playoffs are actually going to be good too, because I think the Indians and the Astros are very good, and I think the Yankees or Red Sox, whoever wins that division, are not as good, but still very good.
Mm-hmm.
And explosive and dynamic teams. And my only problem with this coming year is the AL wild card looks like it's just a bleh. And, of course, you know, that'll mean the AL wild card wins the World Series.
Right. Okay, let's go Rockies. What is their Baldwin?
They've made some weird moves at the beginning of the season that I still don't agree with. The Ian Desmond signing is still bad. I'm going to give them, I'm going to have to give them an Alec. I mean, they got Neshek, who's maybe the best right-handed reliever that was available, helps their bullpen. And they got Luke Roy for almost nothing. And that fixes their catcher problem.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as we talked about last year a bit, if you can add offense to a high-scoring offense, that's better than just adding pitching.
Right.
It has more value mathematically to just get more offense. Because in baseball, it's all cumulative, right? So you score 20 runs in one game and 10 in the next, that's 30 runs scored. But you don't get to credit for the previous run scored.
Right.
So it's not a cumulative plus minus.
Whether you win 2-1 or 10-0, it's still a win.
Right. And then, so what you want is to avoid situations where you're the one losing 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a big scoring offense, the more offense you can add to it, the less like you are to lose games.
2-1. Right.
Exactly. So it's a light Alec. I'm being very generous. I feel like maybe living in New York City, I'm more used to everyone being garbage, or maybe Alec Baldwin's career just isn't what it once was. And so it's a little easier to say everyone's an Alec, but I'm going to give these guys an Alec.
How about the D-backs?
Look, they got J.D. Martinez for almost nothing. They picked up like a backup shortstop and a reliever.
Yeah, reacquired David Hernandez.
Yeah.
Starter / closer / middle reliever David Hernandez.
Yeah, I mean, this feels a lot like if the Red Sox got a high-end Billy, then this is a high-end Billy.
Yeah, they definitely improved.
Yeah, they're better, but they couldn't necessarily have gone and done much more. But whose fault is that? Mine? Stevens? No, it's Billy's fault.
How about the Padres? They didn't pull the trigger on the biggest piece that they had, but they did make some moves and got some prospects.
They made the earlier move with the Royals, right? Isn't that their...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their big thing with them is, I'm going to give them a high-end Billy, but if you're looking at... Because that's a really good trade with the Royals for the Padres. This is what the Padres should be doing while they're developing, is bring in pitchers, let them pitch well at their pitcher-friendly park, trade off those assets as best you can. Mm-hmm. Basically, kind of what the Marlins tried to do, I think. You know, bring in a bunch of guys. Hey, worst case scenario, we can trade them off.
Right, and they
didn't quite work out. They didn't trade off Dan Straley, who they had given up Luis Castillo for, by the way, who is spectacular with the Reds. I don't know if you saw, but he started his career pitching to the Nationals twice, the Yankees, the Diamondbacks at Coors Field, and he still got an ERA under 4. And he's striking out a guy an inning.
It's pretty impressive.
This guy might be a I don't want to say ace, but let's say number two, and all they had to do was give up Dan Straley, and you're telling me the Marlins are hanging on to Dan Straley, and then they're like, oh, we're hanging on to Dan. Oh, no, he's on the block. Oh, no, he's not on the block.
Yeah, at first he wasn't, then he was, and then nothing happened.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
But for the Padres, I think they should have traded Brad Hand, but maybe they were just like, oh, people don't think that he's as good as we think he is. Let's have him be our closer for the end of the season, and then they'll see how good he is. And then they can get more in the offseason. And, like, the Padres can wait.
Mm-hmm.
They're in no hurry. They don't need to dump Brad Hand onto a team. And they probably didn't want to trade him to the Dodgers, right? There was probably some talks there, but they don't want to, you know, they don't want to let the Dodgers win the World Series. Right. You know, they're not going to, like, blow up the stadium or anything like that, but they're not going to try to help him. You know, so then, like, who was looking for a lefty? Well, you had the Cubs. But the Cubs also needed a catcher, so maybe they were like, you know what, we prefer the Tigers package better. Or maybe the Tigers were just asking for less.
I think the bigger issue, based on what I read, is that there was just too much. They were asking for too much for Hand.
Yeah. Always, it reminds me of whenever I hear a GM doing this, it reminds me of that SNL sketch with Roy Scheider. Do you remember the one where he has a Super Bowl ticket?
Mm-mm.
And he's out in front of the Super Bowl trying to sell it for like $1 million or something like that. It's like it's at the 50-yard line, the front row, 50-yard line, one Super Bowl ticket. And people keep offering him like insane amounts of money, but it's not the $1 million that he wanted.
It's not enough.
And then the game starts and he winds up not selling the ticket, something like that. That may not happen at all. That may have just been a dream I had.
That would have been a great dream. Make it into a movie. So last team on the list for this year's Baldwin scale is the San Francisco Giants, one of your favorite teams.
I am happy to report that they are a Steven. They did trade Eduardo Nunez,
mm-hmm.
and they were unable to trade many assets who were injured. But again, who signed those players in the first place? The Giants signed them.
Well, they did pick up Pablo Sandoval, so... The panda's back home.
Yeah, but now all the money they have to spend on the buffet table.
Right. So that's everybody then. We've got our...
That's everyone.
So did you... I don't know if you were keeping score. How many, Alex, and did you tally up?
I would say... I'm just going to say this is like by memory, because I didn't tally anything. I would say this year there were more Alex than last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say there were more Billies than last year, because last year there were only two Billies. And I think there were the same number of Daniels, and they were almost all in the National League East, which is great news for Nationals fans pretty much Nationals fans. And then less Stevens, because teams got a little bit smarter and became Billies and Alex.
So let's. I want to wrap up the show with just one more comment. We talked about last week that Ahmed Rosario was not going to be pulled up because of the toxic situation in the Mets dugout. So what did the Mets go and do this week? They call him up.
Wait, that sounds like a headline, though. I thought we were saving that for next week. What are you doing, John?
But that's next week.
We're going to talk about Adrian Beltre's 3,000th hit.
What?
Adrian Beltre's 3,000th hit.
What are you talking
about?
We're not
going to talk about that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but there's more.
Wait, you want to talk about Pete Rose getting in trouble for apparently having sex with a minor? Apparently he had sex with a minor.
Who would
want to? And we'll save it for next week. Lots of good stuff. Okay. Lots of good stuff.
Hey, tune in next week.
Tune in next week for these.
All right, we'll talk to you later.